Honourable members, I think we have quite a good number to start. Unless I'm wrong, Secretary. Therefore, I think we should start our session. Are you ready, that side?
We are ready, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much. Welcome to all members of our portfolio committee. Welcome to the department led by the DG and his group, including SAFCOL, and also welcome to the ministry. I understand that today the ministry is led by the deputy minister. Welcome all members of the portfolio committee of public enterprise. This is the meeting where we'll be getting a briefing by SAFCOL on the annual report and financial statements, on the annual report and financial statement for 2019-2020. Without having any delays. I'm sorry, I'm struggling to get my picture reflected here on my gadget. Perhaps as time goes, it's going to be sorting itself. I think there is some technological problems here. Or otherwise, I will change to another gadget as the process unfolds. For now, let me ask the secretary to provide us with the apologies.
Good morning, Chair and members, and our guests. It's the one from the Minister, Mr. Kwang Kwa, Ms. Maotwe, and Mr. Kacharia, who are able to join us today. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so thank you. Is Minister, is Honorable Kwang Kwa, is Honorable Kacharia and Honorable Maotwe. With those, I think those are captured, those apologies. I hope there are no other apologies now. Without wasting any time, let me go to the minister to provide us, the deputy minister, to provide us with some few remarks in relation to the report.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to the honorable members of the committee, as well as the chair of the board, together with the board members of SAFCOL, the executive team, our director general, as well as the departmental officials we've brought with to this hearing. Chair, I will just say that whilst we are elsewhere, confronted with many challenges that impose a very doom and gloomy environment as we deal with those. I'm happy today to be presenting to you the board chairperson of SAFCOL and his team, who will be presenting to the committee the the annual report for the year that has ended, including the financial performance of the institution. The reason I say it's much different is we do see a ray of hope in the changing fortunes of the organization, and their submission, I can assure you, Chair, will attest to that reasonable optimism. The organization has acquired an unqualified report which suggests that there is significant work that's being done in the area of improving financial management and the performance thereof. Chair, it's not for me to present the report. I would like to, at this stage, through you, Chair, invite that the Chair of the Board goes ahead to make his remarks and advise on how properly they will deal with the matter. And Chair, if I may use the opportunity at 11:45, I may just request a few minutes. I have just to attend to a matter. I'm hoping that by that time, if we are still continuing, you could just permit me that I need to jump and attend to another matter at 11:45. With your permission, Chair, you may advise. I think the chairperson of the board is ready.
Okay. I that's acceptable, Honourable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chair of the Committee. We wish on this morning to greet the members of the Portfolio Committee, to acknowledge our Deputy Minister, Honourable Masuale, to acknowledge the DG for Public Enterprises and colleagues from Public Enterprises, to also acknowledge our CEO at Safcol, Ntate Tshepo Mnaeng, and colleagues from the executive team. And also, lastly, to acknowledge my board colleagues that are with us, the various chairs of the committees of the board and members of the board. Honourable Chair, it is a great pleasure for us and privilege that we are here to present the 2019-2020 Integrated Report for Safcol. I just want to start out by saying it is widely established among corporate strategists that on the one hand, culture eats strategy for lunch, while on another front, corporate strategy is finding it difficult in this context that the Deputy Minister has already spoken to be responsive to a volatile, complex, uncertain and ambiguous environment, which people call a VUCA environment. And COVID-19 has certainly presented a perfect storm for that VUCA environment. The financial year that we are presenting under review to the Portfolio Committee, as the current board, we sought to ensure that we cultivated the correct corporate culture in order to ensure that we don't end up with that counterproductive culture that ate our strategy for lunch. But secondly, we sought to go about setting the correct tone of corporate governance at the top. And most critically, we placed a lot of effort in terms of achieving optimal cost competitiveness relative to other key players in the forestry sector. The forestry sector is a small set of key players, especially the area that we play in as Safcol, and there tends to be a high dependency on a limited number of key customers, which therefore impacts on the flexibility of Safcol in terms of revenue growth. And within that tight environment, we did so mindful of the fact that we are custodians of state assets and therefore we needed to also ensure that we deliver sustainable value for the fiscus. And for us, that meant that we needed to ensure that we minimize losses that had been a recurring feature, that we ensured that as part of setting the tone at the top, we eliminated all manner of reckless expenditure, as well as any remnants of corruption that may well have been there, although I must say with SAFCO, we were not as hard hit as other state-owned entities by the phenomena of corruption. We also invested in a dual process of building and driving a long-term strategy, which embedded a new culture of high performance, while at the same time ensuring that we eliminated, prevented value erosion in terms of economic profitability of SAFCO. We continuously ensure that our strategy is aligned with the objectives of the Forestry Master Plan, which includes encouraging sector growth, investment, job creation, and broader competitiveness. In the year under review, we enjoyed a solid working partnership between ourselves and the Honorable Deputy Minister, who is assigned to SAFCOL as our conduit and day-to-day provider of oversight, and also enjoyed an equally solid partnership with the department and also with the Honorable Minister of Public Enterprises. In terms of some of the highlights we focused on, we had a board effectiveness review in our first year in office, and the board review showed that we were a board that was coherent, professional, focused, and we worked well in ensuring that we deliver our mandate. We believe we delivered a stable financial performance under very difficult COVID-19 conditions, and we supported management through this journey. We have gone quite far down the line, as also attested by the reports of the Auditor General, in ensuring that we stamped out financial irregularities and all manner of wasteful expenditure. As has already been mentioned by the Honorable Deputy Minister, we achieved an unqualified audit opinion, and this came with a lot of hard work, which we wish to appreciate through the leadership of our chair of the Audit and Risk Committee, Ms. Zimkita Zatu. We obtained a positive financial turnaround from our subsidiaries, such as IFLOMA, and all this are an attestation to the sense of working together that permeates the culture of the board together with our executive colleagues. With that, Chair, with your permission, having sketched that high-level perspective, I would like to then, with your permission, invite our Chief Executive Ntate Tshepo Mnaeng to then also take you through a set of slides that we presented, we've prepared to present to the Portfolio Committee, which we hope then will then also lay further ground for a hopefully rich conversation when we do have Q&A. Without further ado, and with your permission, Honorable Chair and Honorable Deputy Minister, may I invite our Chief Executive to proceed with the presentation, if so permitted. Thank you.
That is allowed.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And Ntate Mnaeng, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, members of the board, honorable members, colleagues from DG and colleagues from SAFCOL. Chair, I'm going to share the presentation now. I want to confirm, Chair, that is visible.
Yes, all good.
All good. I think, Deputy Minister and Chairperson, you have introduced the performance of Safcol during the financial year 2019-2020, and I'll go straight to the presentation. The agenda covers different elements, mainly as covered in the integrated report, so I'll try and cover all areas. I won't go into too much detail because otherwise we'll spend a long time, but I'll go through what's key to be reported in the integrated report. I'll first cover the report itself. That this presentation covers the performance of Safcol as a group with its subsidiaries. We have a few subsidiaries, Komatipile and Forest, which is the main operating entity in South Africa. We have Abacus Forestries SOC, which is a dormant company, which we are going to change it to focus on new initiatives going forward. Kamsabane Timber, which is dormant as well, but we are in part, which is where the growth of Safcol will come from. And Ifloma, which is our subsidiary, which we own 80% of based in Mozambique. As Chairperson had said earlier, that all these entities received unqualified audits, which is really good for us. For us to ensure that there's governance and proper management of the company, we have the assurance that we provide to the board and to the assurance providers. That includes our own risk and compliance and safety, health, environment and quality functions to ensure that everybody in the company performs to the expectation of compliance. We have our internal audit function that ensures that we don't find ourselves doing the wrong things, and if there's anything that is found to be wrong, it should be picked up as quickly as possible. We also have the independent broad-based back economic empowerment for verification. We have the Forest Stewardship Council certification, which I'm happy to announce that for the 23rd year in succession, we have managed to maintain the certification. That says we are managing the state assets very well. And overall, we have the external auditors, which is Auditor General, to make sure that they also help us in terms of identifying if there's any problems in the management of the entity. The company is evolving. Its structure is very complex. So we want to simplify the structure of the company. And during this reporting time, we started the movement of or the migration of Ifloma from reporting to Komatiland, but rather to report on Safcol, that it makes it easier for us to manage the entity. And Kamsabane, we have started as well to position it as the where the growth of the company will come from, because the growth of the company is not going to come from sale of logs, but it will rather come from what we do with the raw material we produce. And that part will be coming from Kamsabane to do beneficiation and processing of the timber. We have the entity that was first, it's few slides earlier presented, but I would like to add to those subsidiaries that we have a minority shareholding in Sierra Quebeca Forest, which is one of the packages that were privatized some years ago. We're still holding 9% shares in that entity. And we have the minority shares, where we hold minority shares. And this is in Siya Kubeka in the Northern KZN. We still hold maximum shares, which we are happy. And we're holding these shares for the community. And we're hoping that sooner we'll be able to transfer the shares to the rightful hands or the communities. Amatole, we are happy as well to say we have managed to maintain the 16% on behalf of shareholders. And to in MTO and Singizi, we are worried that over time, over years since the privatization started, there's been dilution, but we have put brakes on this to say before there's any further dilution, we have to make sure that the shares are in the rightful hands. And our operations mainly in KLF and a bit in Ifloma, where we own 80% of. And I must say, Chair, that 189,000 hectares that are in our control in the country under KLF, about 56% of that is under claim. But we are working closely with the communities even before the claims are concluded for us to have a partnership so that the communities understand the importance of forestry and forest products, so that going forward we can have cooperatives working, we can have strategic partnerships with communities on the beneficiation side, because it's too risky to expect participation on the forestry side. In the event that there's fire that wipes off hectares of the plantation, that there shouldn't be much impact on the community, but it should be the focus must be more on the beneficiation side or the processing side. And we are happy to say we have managed to maintain temporarily unplanted area, which is after harvesting, there will be some land that still has to be planted. We aim for 3%. We are doing better than that. We want to reduce it to further, lower. And in Mozambique as well, we are happy to say the operationalization of that entity is working well, it's profitable, and it's the planting is happening. So we are happy that after many years of neglecting the entity and running it under care and maintenance, it's now an operating entity and we are proud of its performance. And this slide, Chair, just shows where the operations are. In Mozambique, we are in the west, more towards Zimbabwe, where we have the Manica operations. That's the main operations in Mozambique. And then towards Beira in the east, we are working on a strategic direction because we have been having lots of cyclones that affect that area. So we're looking at whether we should invest too much money or should we convert that into a more sustainable business than to have youths in that area, and then we have cyclone that comes through and wipes off the entire plantation. But we are looking at that. And back home in the country, we have plantations from Limpopo, which we are happy. We are working very well with the community there. And we want to reinvest in the sawmill there so that we can have beneficiation, much better beneficiation and better returns in that area that will incorporate strategic relationships with the community. And we are happy to say next week we'll be signing a framework agreement that has been developed over 2 years. We started during this year of reporting 2019-2020, but we are at the point that next week we'll be saying this is the framework that we are going to work through. In Mpumalanga, we have most of our plantations are based in Mpumalanga, and we are working very well. We just have to make sure that we beneficiate most of the raw material that we have. So we have strategic projects that we are embarking upon to ensure that better value is derived from the raw material. Northern KZN, we have one plantation. It's far from the rest of the operations, But we are looking at establishing a plywood plant. We'll announce properly in due time during this coming financial year, where we have a partnership with a company owned by a young man to develop or to produce plywood. That will be for export. But we are working on that. At the moment, it's well managed, but it's far from the operations. Everybody finds it very far in terms of logistical costs. Chair, I thought if I can quickly go through the highlights and the challenges. Chairperson of the board has mentioned, and Deputy Minister has mentioned some of the highlights that we are really proud of. It means the company is in the right direction. We just have to make sure that some of the areas that are still lacking, we up them so that we are a real 21st century company that competes with any company in the world. We are proud to have achieved an unqualified audit opinion, not only at SAFCO level, but throughout the subsidiaries as well. The temporary unplanted area, we managed to contain it. And IFLOMA, the entity in Mozambique, it's now, we are happy, it's making money, it's going to be able to fund its operations. And hopefully it will be able to pay the debt that it's got with KLF. In our effort to improve the relations with stakeholders, we have successful conferences with customers because we had realized that the customers in the country were very unhappy with how SAFCO was conducting business. So I must say that we have a very good relationship coming out of 2019-2020 interventions. And including other stakeholders, we have a good relationship. As said earlier, we have managed to maintain for the 23rd year in succession the FSC certification. That says you are managing this state assets very well. We do have challenges, but it's not only highlight, Chair, that we are working on. We have very old technology that we have started the process of upgrading and replacing. Our IT system is at a point where we need to intervene and to have a project already. We have to be able to, by end of this coming financial year, to report that we have replaced the entire ERP system so that we have a working system. The main processing company or processing plant that we have in the company, which is Timber Dollar, which is based in Limpopo, is overdue for replacement. I'm happy to say we are working on the reinvestment of that entity so that we can realize not only profits that come out of that, because Timber Dollar, Chair, is where the losses of the company come from. If Timber Dollar is profitable, SAFCO will not have any problems in declaring profits year on year. So we are intervening there to make sure that we replace that investment. It will come at a huge investment, but it has to be done. Otherwise, we'll have to shut it down. And unfortunately, it's the biggest employer in the region. And we can't afford to close it down, to lose revenue, to lay people off from work, and also to expose people to unsafe working environment by continuing to operate it. And the other one which we are really working on is we are working on the challenges jointly with the industry. Timber theft has become a big problem in the industry, which becomes a problem for the whole industry, because if timber is stolen, it goes to the market at a very cheap price. It kills the prices in the market. Our genuine customers can't compete. So some of them had to close off. We have a few sawmills that had to close off because they couldn't compete. So we had to intervene. But it's a process that we are undergoing. We're definitely sure that we are going to win this one. Certainly, Chair, we have two rights that we report on in 2019-2020. due to non-compliance with safety guidelines, and within the budget revenue per employee, mainly because we made a decision to clean up revenue. So the revenue we realized must generate profits, because it didn't help to just deliver revenue, and at the end, we don't have the profit that goes with it. At the same time, we decided to put an intervention from the industry, because if some sawmillers were closing and they couldn't compete, we needed to drop our price, because the log price is one of the important input costs to sawmilling industry. So we dropped the prices by 9%, and that helped the industry to be afloat. And we are happy now that our sawmilling industry or forest industry are big now. And if we had done that intervention, we wouldn't be here where we are. Thank you, Chair. Quickly on the performance against the shareholder impact, that's between the shareholder. We achieved 14 of the 25 targets. We believe that we could have done better if we didn't have the revenue missed and the fatality that we encountered, and not being able to execute some strategic process. And the problem of having to cut costs, it means some of the initiatives that we want to do, we couldn't do because we had to prioritize government. But going forward, we believe that we have moved towards the 85% achievement from the 56% that we achieved. Honorable Chair, as the Chairperson of the Board did mention, we have the Board that is providing guidance to the company, and this is the Board that's really working hard, spending more hours that call to position where it should be. And we also have the executive steers the ship on day-to-day basis. On board, the chief information officer position is vacant. We are busy with the recruitment process, and we have made a decision that it has to be a lady, and we are recruiting a lady for position, and we are looking at opportunities to have at least 50% in management should be ladies. Areas in terms of us control, managing the company, if we don't comply, wouldn't be able to achieve some of the good things that we see coming out. Risk management is key. We have to be able to identify the risks in the company, that we develop mitigations and we implement the mitigation, ensure that the risks do not materialize. And the risk management is done from the board, from the shareholder to the board, to executive, to management, everybody in the company is part of the journey to ensure that the risks that have been identified don't materialize. We have the environment to look after, and we are happy to say to report that in 2019-2020, the environment, we're making progress in terms of managing our environment to the level that is acceptable. That's why we get positive feedback from external auditors who under the FSC who audits our environment. We have to be a main player in the climate change reversal, and we have already started to work on that front to ensure that we have more trees, we have more green plants that will help us reverse the climate change impact. Health and safety is key, and going forward, we have to make sure that safety is as good as having a sustainable commercial business. So there's no room for non-compliance with safety, and to make sure that we comply. And it's indicative in terms of our achievement, whether it's on the disabling injury frequency rates, which we are pushing it towards one, and also in terms of the NOXA audits, the findings are giving us feedback that we are doing something good. And we have to make sure that employees at work are healthy and well at all times. So we have initiatives to ensure that we have a healthy working environment, not only physical, but even mentally. Honorable Chair, this slide shows the progress in terms of investigations. We realized that the previous years, stakeholders were not reporting incidences of fraud and corruption. And we took the decision to say we are going to engage on our stakeholder engagements and conferences, that we are going to open it up to say people should report anything that they can see, whether it's employees or other stakeholders. And we are happy to say we received very good feedback. People are reporting because they can see that something will happen, because their argument was, even if we report, we know that nothing will happen. So at least now we report and we see something is happening. And they don't only report, but we deal with them, with the reports, to make sure that we inculcate a culture, an ethical culture in the business. We have, this slide shows the employees that we have. We have dropped in terms of numbers of employees that we have in the company. We are supposed to be creating more jobs, but in this year of 2020-21, the number of employees that we have on board dropped, but it's not because anybody was retrenched. Going forward, we are going to make sure that we create opportunities through the strategy implementation. That says let's process more of the 50% of the timber that we don't use. So this will be improving from where we are now. We have to be able to create more jobs. In terms of our employment equity plan, we're doing relatively well, but at the upper end, we hope that going forward, the numbers will be better than the plan, because those are the areas where we didn't appoint because of cost containment. We delayed the appointments. But going forward, I think we are on top of it. We have managed to get the ship stable. We can now have the leadership that will take us to the next level. Ensure that we have a positive impact in the communities. We have enterprise development initiatives that we embark upon, and we are happy that all those that we have done over years, the people that we visit to follow up, they are really involved in the businesses. Young people, they have got their own furniture manufacturing companies that are hugely contributing in Limpopo. We have cooperatives that are successful in the agroforestry. So these are some of the projects that we did in the 2019-2020. And the colleagues follow up to go and check them as well. And we are happy to say these projects were not in vain. They are contributing positively to the community. It's little money, 1.2 million. We're hoping to improve it now that the company is getting, you know, stable and the finances are improving. We'll shift from CSI and more focus on enterprise development. We'll still spend money on CSI, but we'll shift towards enterprise development so that we can have a lasting impact economically. So these are some of the projects that we went through with the communities. And then under CSI, as I said, we spend more. We spent 7.8 million compared to just over 1 million for enterprise development. But it was for a good cause. As I said, we'll shift. We built a clinic in Graskop. I must say that this clinic is beautiful, and we're supposed to have handed it over already, but because of COVID, we couldn't. I think the launch or the handover is happening next week, Friday. It's a beautiful place. I went to see it, and the community is appreciative of the interventions, and it came at the right time just before COVID. Otherwise, it was going to be really sad for the community in Graskop. They didn't have facilities. The public works, the expanded public works program intervention, we are happy that we did manage to work well with the communities, and we had more than we had planned interventions, and we built some food bridges. Some of the communities, when it's raining, they can't access, kids can't go to school because it's raining. So we have these interventions, and this is one of them. We had a bridge in Robins Bay. We had Dundonald as well. And communities are appreciative because now they can carry on with their lives. And as we do this, we create some jobs for the communities around where we have the interventions. Then coming to, Honorable Chair, to the financials, as we did report that the revenue went down, and it was a decision that we made to say we have to clean up the revenue. The revenue that we have must be the revenue that creates value for the company and the shareholder. So we decided to discontinue forward sales, which could have delivered more than 200 million rands. And we said they are not helping the company because we registered the sales, but the cash and the profit disappears because it's not good business. We fund the industry instead of making sure that we protect the interests of the company. We also reduced the prices by 9% to support and help the sawmilling industry from collapse. And those two contributed to the drop of the revenue. But we managed to contain the cost, and we managed to contain the cost to less than revenue. And that helps us to create or deliver an EBITDA or real operating profit of over 35 million rands, which we are happy. Over many years, we haven't been able to deliver a positive EBITDA. And we realize that the biggest problem that we have, as we clean the revenue, because now we are ready to grow the revenue, we have to have a hold on the cost. So we are happy that we are on top of the cost, and we are going to be able to now move. As we move the revenue up, we are not going to move the revenue up and the cost at the same percentage. So that says the company will be really profitable going forward. Honorable Chair, we are happy to say we looked at our internal controls, we looked at how we do business, and for the past 3 years, from 2018, where we had nine areas of qualification, in 2019 we dropped to one area of qualification, and it was a qualified audit, and this year of 2019-2020, we have no areas of qualification. But there were findings which we are working hard on to make sure that they are taken out of the system. And that zero area of qualification resulted in us achieving an unqualified audit. And we are really happy about that achievement. It's for us now to maintain and do better and move towards unqualified with no findings. In terms of the balance sheet, we have a good balance sheet. We have to make sure that we maintain that, but make it work for the company. We have areas that we are really happy about, that we managed to finance, fund our operations. We have a positive current ratio. Our cash reserves are improving, are increasing year on year. We have a very low debt to equity ratio. That means we can be able to pay off our debt. But our equity has dropped, and we are working on that. It means we have to make sure that we shift from equity towards from liabilities towards equity. So we have to reduce our liabilities, which we are working on. And the total assets in terms of value, we have increased the total asset value of the company, and we are going to continue to do that. And this is the income statement for the company, Honorable Chair. All the areas we are positive, except at the top line where we went low. And just we said earlier that it's because of the decisions we make to clean up the revenue. But everything below that is positive. The costs, we have managed to improve on our cost management. Fair value of our plantations, we have managed to improve the asset value. The operating expenses, we have managed to reduce, and we still have room to improve on that. And we reduced in terms of the net loss after the tax, because the tax took off over 200 million rands IFRS adjustments. If it wasn't because of that, we'd have posted a very good positive net profit. In terms of the real profit, which is EBITDA, we posted positive, which is much better than the year before, 2019, by 153%, which is it shows that we are in the right direction. And Honorable Chair, we can generate revenue, we can post profit, but if there's no cash in the business, we don't have a business. And we are happy to say we have managed to see our cash reserves growing. As we compare to the previous year, we had the cash resources sitting at 96 million. And we improved from there. And the cash from operations, which is really cash that comes off the operations, we moved from about 50 million rands to 161 million rands. And the net cash in the company, we moved from 156 million to 252 million. So it means we'll be able to settle our debt, manage our liabilities downwards. I must say, Chair, as well, that we are working with the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries to pay off the debt that was accumulated over many years. We are working with them to make sure that we pay that for the lease of the land, because the land we operate on is leased from, we lease it from the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. So we have started paying that off so that we can zero it soon. This slide shows the gradual improvement in terms of fruitless, wasteful, and irregular expenditure. We have irregular expenditure that we still have, that come from prior years, that we still have to get out of the system. But we are moving in the right direction. This year under review, the company incurred irregular expenditure of 52 million rands, which is on top of historical irregular expenditure. But we want to move to a level where in a year we have close to zero or zero irregular expenditure. Difficult because of the kind of business we are in, but we want to make sure that we reduce the irregular expenditure towards zero. Fruitless and wasteful, it's a definite, it must go to zero, so that we don't have any fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This is as a result of us having improved the internal controls. to tighten up, ensure that it's not only the systems, but the people, the way they conduct themselves, the way they work, it's in the interest of the business and the way they are expected to work. And we have devised mechanisms to be able to detect any likelihood of irregular expenditure way upfront, so that we stop it before it happens. So it means that at times we have to intervene in the supply chain process to say it can't continue. We have to stop right here, because if we go through this, this is going to be irregular. The consequence management is at the top of our agenda, so that it can enforce the culture of both of ethical behavior and of high performance. Because if we all are exposed to the same guidelines in terms of if there's misbehavior or there's non-performance, I should be able to explain why is Safcall not performing. And that should be applicable to everybody in the company, that the area of responsibility, I must account for anything that I'm expected to do and it's not done, or anything that I've done and I've done wrongly. I'm happy that the leadership we have on board is committed to the culture that we have agreed on, that is a high performance culture with ethical behavior. So the leadership we have in the business subscribes to that, and it makes life easier for us to go to the employees further down to say, guys, this is how we have to, how do we have to work in the company. The biggest problem, Honorable Chair, is the cost. If we grow the revenue as we have planned to do, if we don't manage the cost, we'll lose the fight. So we have identified that the area of cost, that's the one area that we have to manage closely. The variable cost will depend on the activities. The fixed cost, we are working on making sure that we manage the fixed cost downwards towards the 50% of total cost. And we hope that getting to 50% will help us to have costs that will be able to create value for the company. And that means we'll have a sustainably profitable company going forward. In terms of concluding remarks, the integrated report for Safcall 2019-2020 shows us that the first phase of the strategy was implemented, and we are sitting at a point where we are happy that the fixing and stabilizing the business, which is the first phase of the strategy, has been successfully implemented. We are now in the second phase of saying we have the products. Let's increase the revenue that comes out of those products. And this is evident in terms of the EBITDA that we're posting. It shows that the second phase we have already switched on. As you mentioned, Honorable Chair, that Safcall and its subsidiaries all achieved unqualified audit opinions. We have to make sure that we maintain that. The areas that we have to strengthen accurate financial reporting, improving the supply chain management area, which we are working on them, and implementing the working and modern ICT system. Because if we don't have a working IT system and using Excel spreadsheets, we are bound to be making mistakes and there will always be finding. So we are going to make sure that those three areas are strengthened. And we are committed to transformation of the forestry sector. We have realized that we are not going to be able to achieve it unless we partner with communities and the potential processing entities. So we have started a journey of partnerships with communities, where it will be an economic partnership, and also to bring in previously excluded companies into the mainstream in terms of beneficiation of wood and not expose them to risky business practices. So we are walking that journey with them. Would love to see black-owned sawmills in the country. And we are on top of that. And we continued to maintain 100% certification by FSC for the 23rd year. And the permanent executive we appointed, unfortunately, the CFO resigned, I think it was in February 2020, just before the end of financial year. But we have executives that are ready and get to take SAFCOL to the next level. That is as per implementation of the strategy. And we are aligned in implementing government programs. And it's evident in the report, if we read through the report. And we are involved in the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. We have to make sure that we create jobs. So we are busy with strategic projects that are going to make sure that this part is done. We have to make sure that instead of exporting logs, we will make sure that we produce products in South Africa that will be exported outside the country so that we can create more jobs locally. And we realize that without us having to say we are going to retrench, but our cost in terms of employee costs are reducing. We haven't reduced people's salaries, but what we have done is we increased salaries of lower level employees with a percentage that is related to inflation, but management haven't received any increases for the past 3 years. And we are hoping that that will change for us to be able to keep this hardworking managers or executives. But we have managed to maintain or control the employee costs which were running away with us. Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Deputy Minister, this is the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Tsepo. And I think now we will have to check if the minister wants to add, the deputy minister wants to add something, or the chairperson or anybody wants to put things into perspective before we actually allow honorable members to seek clarity and question and make contributions.
Perhaps, Chairperson, I may. With your permission, Chairperson, just from a board in terms of looking ahead, from where we are with the report, our priorities, together with our executive colleagues on the board, in terms of taking things forward from where the report has ended, we are looking at 5 priorities looking ahead. Firstly is to sustain revenue diversity. We, as I indicated, we've got a revenue concentration challenge with a handful of key customers. And so we have been working with our executive colleagues to look at how we start building new capacity to learn how we become more export oriented, because there's global opportunities that can be pursued in other markets where we're still building these capabilities. 2, we are looking at maintaining momentum to improving the liquidity of the organization. 3rdly, we are looking at how we improve and maintain momentum on the quality of internal controls. There might appear to be an increase in reporting of irregularities, which we believe is a good thing because in the past this was suppressed. So the key thing is that even though there's a number of irregularities being on terms of slide 23, where we mentioned that our hotline had 28 new reports. What is pleasing is that it doesn't necessarily mean that there's been a deterioration in the culture and integrity in the organization. It simply means more reports are coming through and more reports are being investigated, but less reports are found to be worthy of pursuing in terms of whether actually irregularities that have taken place. We are looking forthly to embedding a new culture of high performance and being more data driven. There's a good old adage that numbers do not lie. So we've invested in a performance management system that is allowing us as a board and management to start being more data-centric in driving our performance culture. And then lastly, we continue to look at how we build a robust, high-quality board that continues to focus on the key priorities and the business at hand. With your permission, Chair, if you will indulge, we are not a two-person collective at SAFCOL. Perhaps with your permission, I can just ask two of the committee chairs to say any additional remarks they may feel so necessary in the event that we may have left something important out. I won't ask everybody to comment, just the chair of audit, Ms. Zatu, if there's anything you may wish to draw to the attention of the committee that we may have left out.
Thanks, Chair. I believe everything has been covered from our side.
Thank you very much. From an investment finance committee, Mr. Bolton, is there anything you believe we should have accentuated?
Thank you, Chair. No, I think you've covered everything. The most significant thing that I think must be expanded on is really the attempts to diversify income streams into SAFCOL. And in that regard, a number of critical projects have already commenced. And I think that once they see the light of day, we should see a much more diversified revenue stream or income streams that will enable SAFCOL to weather a whole range of storms that might be coming in the future as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, Chairperson, with your permission, I can now hand over to the Deputy Minister to see if there's any, as you initially instructed. Thank you very much.
Chair, I believe, Chair, we have really covered everything. The rest can be dealt with in the form of responses to the honourable members' questions. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable members, that is the report. I will also try to go through the list as I normally do, so that the members are in a position to engage the report. I know for a fact that there are those that are not present. Therefore, our list is not going to be long today. I will give a member to ask as much as he can. I think we do have that space. Let me start with Honorable Piri. Honorable Piri. Or maybe Honorable Piri is having a problem. I think we are losing her even on the on the connection. Let's go to Honorable Kumede.
Chair?
Yes.
Hello, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. We are hearing you loud and clear, Ebenezer.
Yeah, Chair, these days we've got a challenge. I had to change from my laptop. Now I'm using the cell phone, the gadget. But let me greet everyone present, the board, the DM, our colleagues. One wish to acknowledge and thank you very much for the report, which appears giving us a smile to at least get an unqualified kind of an audit report. That's very much is pleasing on us as this committee. Okay. Hey, you know, I'm mindful now because last time I've got quite a lot of questions, but let me ask at least the few that I may think are very, very much critical. One is that how do they plan, I mean the board, SAFCOR, to sustain their performance? You know, many a times I've seen entities performing better, not even reaching an unqualified stage, but they will simply go down and situation will go back. With the performance they have, how do they plan to sustain it? Do they have any plan again to tackle matters raised by the AG? The performance of on KPIs has not been that good. I think it's the 53%. Achievement on performance. What is their take on that? What could have been the obstacles? And many of the key performance areas were in fact not achieved. So that's critical on my side. The other one is the land issue. When do they plan to finalize the land matters? Because you understand that it is at risk if you do business on the land that in fact is doesn't belong to you. So those are the matters at this stage that I would like to ask. And thank you very much for you to have managed to settle the debt and be in a position as well to address some other liabilities. Thank you very much. Chair, if the opportunity comes, I still have some questions to ask, but anyway, let me give others an opportunity. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kumede. Honorable Clark?
Thank you. Chairperson, yeah, it's refreshing to have an SOE come and present to us that's not on the verge of bankruptcy. You know, it makes really interesting listening to see, you know, how you've been able to steer this SOE to ensure that that happens. My questions are, what contracts caused the wasteful and irregular expenditure? And has this been corrected in order to mitigate such going forward? The previous member spoke about the targets. The chairperson of the board said that they want to become more data-driven for the, in order to ensure that the viability of the company proceeds. I just wanted to know, the current IT system that you have available to you, would you be able to realize this objective? Because in the presentation you did mention that the IT system needs to be upgraded seriously. And we've seen that even with Danelle's presentation, you know, that people are working on spreadsheets, and that is not really a viable system in order to get correct stats. Safcol embarked on a scenario planning project during COVID-19. What was the outcome of this planning project, and what does Safcol aim to achieve relating this project? Also, what has Safcol put in place to ensure that they are able to maintain critical skill sets that are needed for the organization, and has that been realized in the HR component? And then what steps have been ensured that irregular and wasteful expenditure is mitigated within the current financial year, and what consequences management has put in place for those who offend? And then those that have offended, has there been any disciplinary cases? And how many of those have been realized, and what was the outcome of those disciplinary cases? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Clark. Can we have Honorable Komani? Honorable Komani?
Thank you very much, Chair. Let us also join. Yes, Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, Chair, I can hear you loud and clear, ma'am. I can hear you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Let us also join in welcoming the presentation by Safcol and safe to say, Chair, after a long time, we hear the state of the bailout, and thank you very much for that.
Chair? Yes, continue. You're done. I wanted you to remove the picture, and you are doing right now.
Okay, thank you very much. Chair, I was complimenting Safcol on the good signs, on the good report that they have presented, and it shows a good sign. Thank you very much for that. However, Chairperson, we have identified in the presentation that there are KPIs that were not met, and those were the important KPIs, if one may say. Maybe if we can maybe get the clarity from Safcol as to what impacted on them not being able to meet the target on the most important KPI. And can the committee be provided with an update on the model for the settlement of the claims by Safcol? And Chair, on irregular expenditure, what steps are taken to prevent irregular expenditures of around 9 million rand? And most irregular expenditures were due to non-compliance with the supply chain management processes from the entity. And Chair, we welcome that Safcol had an unqualified audit, and that is very promising. However, Chair, a call for concern is that we have got repeat findings by the AD on annual statements, and that there was no transparent and fair, and there is the contravention with the 2017 preferential procurement regulations. To say, Chair, there were companies that met the minimum requirement, but those were not taken through to be shortlisted and so on and so on. So that is if Minister Kerr can maybe put us to speak as to what are the findings into the investigation of the alleged financial mismanagement and the consequent management that is being instituted against those who were found guilty of such misconduct. Chair Feather, when will the community's share be transferred by Safcol to the communities that have to be shared? And Chair, fraud and corruption stats are the highest in their presentation. What strategies do they have they put in practice to prevent this behavior? Because it is largely spreading across. We need to maybe have and Chair, lastly, in the presentation by the CFO has resigned in the last financial year, and we are towards the ending of the next financial year. So what and how far is the process, replacement process of the CFO? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Komani. Honorable Butelezi. Ushenge Ageko Lapa. Okay. Honorable Piri.
Thanks, Chair. I hope this time I'm winning. I'm audible. Am I?
Yes, you are. You are, madam.
Let me start by greeting the DM Chair and yourself and all colleagues who are in the platform and the board of Safcol, and say observed protocol and extended my greetings to everybody, even though I did not mention the name. Chair, I don't have much but to join colleagues in saying there's at least a relief and a hope from the presentation that we got. At least one or two of our entities are performing better. And as it shows in the report, Safcol is showing a positive stride to show that really it can, in the near future, and deal with all issues or challenges that they have, especially in terms of finances. But let me have a bite of a one or two questions. One will be, Chair, it's just an emphasis on the issue of a land claim. One will want to understand or be finished with a better or a proper strategy that is in place to say you still have some few shares that you have that belongs to the community. When will you transfer them back? At the same time, how does the land claim in areas that you are experiencing challenges, that the land that you are using, we are claiming it as a community, then what are your plans in place? I heard the chairperson when he was presenting, referring to Limpopo vendor in particular, that they are working very well. But in some instances, you might find it's not the same issue. Then how are you dealing with it? How frustrating does it affect the process or the working environment in the institution in terms of that? Secondly, Chair, in terms of the programming system, you could see the department or the entity had its own target of 80% in terms of having businesses with BEEs, but you have only achieved 52% or 51% if I may put it correctly, against the 80% that they did not achieve. Then what are the plans in place for them to reach that target that they've set themselves? And as much as they've shown us the breakdowns, and it means they are realizing they're not into the par or into the same level that they thought they're going to do, what is their plan in place to assist in particular Black-owned women businesses, youth, and disabled people to venture into the business with them? As much as you know, they only have a smaller nyana take on Black-owned entities, which is only 6%, which is not looking good on the side of empowering small businesses. But Chair, when I proceed to irregular expenditures or expenditures that were not planned, we have a scenario in that cut is in all entities that we have under our department. You always have the mitigation that goes to court. People who are not satisfied in the processes of how they've awarded the project or tenders, then how does the management and the board handle that issue to avoid us always being taken to court and they are only given a mandate by the court to do in a particular way or to award a certain person, but at the same time they could have avoided that themselves in following proper processes. In that case, if they have such cases, without mentioning which case, how are they planning to eliminate such incidents? Because it end up giving us, you know, unforeseen expenditures that we were not anticipating, as much as we need every cent that we're going to lose. Chair, I think, let me pause there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Piri. Honorable Dlamini?
Thanks, Chair. Who's Enika?
Okay. Am I audible? Yes, but there are people who are helping you behind you. Can you just try to... Yeah.
It's just like an ordinary fry.
No. It's Honorable Gumede. It's not you, Honorable Lamine. It's Honorable Gumede. Can you mute Honorable Gumede?
Huh?
Honorable Gumede, can you mute? Yes, continue, Honorable Lamine.
Yeah. No, thanks, Chair. I think the report is painting a positive picture. The one concern that one might have is the issue of the land claims, because those things can be a stumbling block to a lot of progress that is being made in a variety of places. I remember in KZN we had one issue where a project that was supposed to help the entire province crumbled because of these land claims. Maybe we need to find a way of resolving these things so that as we plan moving forward, we know exactly what we were planning for. Because now it looks like we're on an upward trajectory in terms of making this company profitable and sustain itself. But we need to also have a plan that's going to be a contingency plan in terms of the land claims. I don't know how that's going to be handled.
Thank you so much, Honorable Dlamini. Can we have Honorable Malinga? Honorable Mkwanazi.
Thanks, Chairperson. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are. from Honorable Mkhwanazi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, the Honorable Members, Board, the Management, the DPE, and the Deputy Minister. Chair, I think I've been partly covered by Honorable Members, but Chair, I think I must first acknowledge and commend the work that has been done by the Board and the Management, but also the oversight that has been done by the department under the DG's leadership, and the DM is really appreciated. And can I join them, the members, in saying it's very refreshing to get such a report from the SOEs. I think we can also encourage other SOEs to learn from this a good story. But Chair, I think I've been covered with the land claims on the update. I think they will update us on those settlement. Secondly, the board on meeting its target, I think I also been covered. But if they can also talk to their preferential procurement as spend targets, and how far are they, and if they are making a crack on that, and are they happy about the progress, and what is the plan going forward? Thirdly, Chair, partly I've been covered by Honorable Kumedo on the AG's finding, but for my emphasis, I wish to understand their process that is in place to reduce and overcome, especially on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and on things that can be avoidable in future. For now, Chair, thank you very much.
Okay, Honorable Mkhwanazi. Honorable Malinga, are you present? No, we don't have Honorable Malinga. Let's go to Honorable Shabalala.
I am Chair, but I waive my right to speak. Greetings to yourself and everybody in the meeting. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Greetings to you, Malinga. Can we go to Honorable Shabalala?
Thank you, Chairperson. Look up by greeting everybody in the main MP and the board, as the Deputy Minister. I'm sure Honorable Malinga wants to say he covered paper the speakers rather than waiving the right to speak. Lights and notes. Chair, I think there's lots of progress that we're noting in this call. I just have a few issues raised that I think we should really get an update on the model for the settlement claims on call operations. The call should also be in a position to really take us on board the committee on its engagement with the customers. Entity from the engagement and being implemented to ensure customer satisfaction. Another question is, what is the delay in the timber dollar upgrade? The 2018-19 earlier request or others. So the question is, what is the amount that SAFCO's made with SAFCO's request to manage government forests, which part of the Enron strategy? And this point here, I really want to find out around this issue, just to really understand that when a SAFCO, makes a request really wanting to manage government forests, the question is, SAFCO is part of government forests. Why is that it's a bit difficult to really be granted part, you can practice, or rather, just to understand the forest really manages them. If entities cannot read on this management of forests, and why is it difficult for us, rather, as in a position to do so? I'm really interested in that, and that I'm overlapping note as the committee as well. The other matter for me on the expenditure of the DE, and where you would have achieved 50% against the 30% and that achieved. Now, the procurement of 51% is total measurable and against this target of 40, that becomes achieved. Now, the question I want to understand is that perhaps we should be given a breakdown of the workforce by demographic. I think it's important. And what is the entity doing to ensure it meets its preferential procurement spend target? Let me just try to get to the conclusion, is that, you know, SAFCO decided to discontinue a standing sales contract. What was this decision taken? Why was this decision taken? And how has this impacted on the operations of the entity? SAFCO should update the committee and all its findings into investigations of alleged financial mismanagement and the consequences management mechanism instituted against those found guilty of this mismanagement. What processes are being put in place to reduce and overcome irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure? I think that has been asked quite often, and what the AG has picked up. The last point is SAFCO still holds minority shares on behalf of communities. When will these shares be transferred to the communities? I think it's one point that Honorable Zamini would have raised, but I just want to perhaps understand, when will the shares be transferred to the communities? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Minister, Deputy Minister and your team, I think you are ready now to sort of respond to these questions, but I think I have to add my voice on the good story. It's not always and a good experience for us to have an audit outcome that is unqualified. That's why I think we need to add my voice there, that we really appreciate that step, and hopefully that in the next also financial year, we're not going to progress. There will be more and more improvement, including dealing with the questions that have been raised sharply by the members. But the only plea or question that I think we need to consider as SAFCO is the issue of prioritizing a program to diversify. For example, you are plowing trees, and it takes 20 years, 10 to 20 years, to nurture and try to deal with that situation. And at the end of the day, you sell 30 pieces of woods with a very low amount, and the people who are your customers will end up getting those wood will manufacture expensive material that will enrich them, meaning that we spent 20 years to plow a tree, and when it's matured, we give it with a very low price to somebody. And there seem to be a limited appetite from your side to actually develop some kind of estate enterprise. It could be better if you have your own company that is also using these raw materials to produce furniture that can where we can benefit as a state. Our schools always are in hunger of furniture, desks, and so on. If you can go around looking at the desks that our children are using, and you will be surprised. But we buy those desks from private sector, which is very expensive, while we are the people who are producing trees. I don't think we at this stage, we cannot have a equipment that could assist us to produce desk as a start, including coffins, including furnitures, you know, that are used in our offices and everywhere. Our hospitals and all state institutions can buy cheaper products from our own state. You know, I think we can save a lot of money from our government if we can start having something. Therefore, I want us to check if there are any plans to prioritize that program, to diversify, and also see an agent that we need to have this. As you answer all these questions, I would like you to say more about if there is a possibility of prioritizing that program. Thank you. Can I give to you, Deputy Minister, and your team?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks to the honorable members. I would, without wasting any further time, Chair, through you, ask the Chair of the Board to lead the team in responding to all the questions. We do appreciate, Chair, the words of encouragement, but expressed very cautiously so as to ensure that we don't have any regressions going forward. We're working hard on that. And I'm sure on our part, it is to keep this forward movement accelerating than to think that we can go back on it. Without further things, the issues you're raising at the end, I wish we could deal with extensively. Perhaps I'm sure in one of the sessions we often have on Mondays, we may want to talk to that, because I know that there are a number of other impediments, competition issues that get into the way. It's very easy. We could be considered a monopoly of a kind, but surely I think the diversification we're talking about is what is also being considered in terms of even the very logs we are producing from time to time. The Chair of the Board and the executive team, with your permission, Chair, can deal with the matters. Thank you very much. And may I also indicate that at 11:45, I will just request to be excused a little, Chair.
Yes, I've noted that.
Okay.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Perhaps let me firstly echo our appreciation to members. One member after another have given us a spring in our step with the words of encouragement that you've given us in your expressing the outcome of the work that has been achieved in this year under reporting. I also want to just perhaps put a bit more context on the ground in terms of irregular expenditure, wasteful expenditure and the like, that most of it is what we had inherited when we assumed our term, but we, in the tenure that we've been in office, we haven't had any spiraling of irregular expenditure and wasteful expenditure. But later my colleagues in audit and risk and in finance will speak more to this. I also want to just add a bit of flavor in terms of from where we sit, what we are referring to when we're talking about diversifying our revenue. I think the Deputy Minister covered some of the dimensions in terms of ensuring that we stay within our regulated space as SAFCO. So what we've been looking at is how we can diversify our revenue from a top-line point of view in terms of having observed that, and we've actually been approached by countries such as India, some parts of China and Asia, where they have a shortage of the kind of logs and timber that we make. And so we believe that there's room to explore those possibilities. But also an exporting culture comes with risk. And so when I said we've been building capacity, in the beginning of 2020, mid-2020, around May, June, we embarked on a process that ended up with us landing the appointment of a chief operating officer, Mr. Sibalo Dlamini, who comes to us with a broad background of coming from manufacturer, private sector experience, where we believe, firstly, his leadership of our operations team will help embed the requisite culture that will ensure that we become a little bit more savvy in our manufacturing and supply chain management. I also want to, in terms of Honorable Gomane's question, maybe because it's a quick one also, regarding the Chief Finance Officer, we have a new Chief Finance Officer that is starting on the 1st of April. We just didn't highlight it because we're talking about the financial year prior, but we went through a competitive process of search and advertisements, and finally, 3-4 months ago, with the concurrence of the shareholder, we then were able to confirm that appointment. The questions that were raised, if I go in sequence by Honorable Gumede, and there's a matter that also comes out a few times around the shareholder compact. I just want to give some flavor. The CEO and other colleagues will add to it. We must remember that the period under review, and even now in the financial year 2021-2022, we continue to operate in what many refer to as a 1 in 100 years environment of the global pandemic that has slowed down not just the South African economy, as honorable members would have been aware, that various leaders recently in Parliament made it clear to the nation that our GDP has declined by 7%. If one looks at one after another organization that have been seen as premier organizations in our economy, in the listed space, the average listed entity that is performing well would have started off by indicating that their headline earnings dropped by 53% to 60%, depending which sector they are in. The money sector so far has been the only buoyant sector, but we're also with limited headline earnings. So SAFCOL is not different because our delivery of the shareholder compact is a direct link to the economy in which we operate. And so as our key customers who are also struggling have had to struggle through the economic challenges, we would also have invariably reduced our ability to draw revenue, because it is when we have revenue that we're able to deliver on most of the key dimensions of the shareholder compact that we couldn't deliver on, as the CEO mentioned so many times, because we had to preserve cash and ensure that we are robust in our efforts of cost containment. So I just thought I should give that high-level context so that when other members join in on the KPI shareholder compact performance, we understand that it is not for lack of effort, but it is simply in the difficult VUCA, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous environment that we're finding ourselves in. If I also continue on that context setting response to look at the points that were raised by Honorable Clark, there's one or two points that I will respond to on behalf of the board and leave the rest to the Chair of Audit and Risk and the CEO and the CFO, acting CFO. On the matter of being data-driven, which I raised, the key point is that we have always been investing in ongoing improvement on our ICT. Even the reporting that we use as a board, it is all based on a digital platform. The organization has been migrating to Office 365 and the requisite systems that offers. Our chief technology officer, chief information officer, got poached by Transnet, so hopefully that speaks a little bit of the capabilities she had, that the bigger SOC felt they could deploy her and offered her a more attractive package. She has been working quite hard in ensuring, since we started our term of office, this has been a point we've been hopping on to ensure we've got systems integrity. In terms of the performance culture that I'm talking about, we've invested in an online, South African online performance management system, which is a system that adds value at a minimal fraction. I think we pay something like 40-something thousand a year for that system. It allows any member of the board, we all have user rights to it, to log in into it and see at any given time where the performance management against the strategy we've approved in real time, where it is at. I have fortnightly status meetings with the CEO, the acting CFO, and also the company secretary, and intermittently we invite other executives at the behest of the CEO. I get to see the system in real time, and our fortnightly discussions are based on tracking performance against those outcomes. The scenario project we invested in, together with the USB, University of Stellenbosch Business School, came as a result of when we were looking for various navigation points in the early stages of the hard lockdown, where it was quite clear that we were going to be hard hit in terms of revenue and in terms of where to look for opportunities. And so we looked at a set of scenarios that helped us figure out what the general trends are globally around the forestry business, especially as a state-owned utility. Remembering that in the very first quarter of our term of office, we had a small delegation of EXCO and the board that went to Finland at the invitation of the Finnish government. It was a a subsidized visit, so it didn't cost SAFCOL or our fiscals much. Where we went to look at best practices in the businesses that we're in, the challenge that South Africa generally faces, back to the point that Honourable Chair Magaga was raising, we need in South Africa to inculcate a culture where, for instance, in housing, wood is seen as part of material that can be used to build houses, whether it's an RDP house or anybody building a small modern house. So we do not have a culture of building wood cabins in South Africa. We do not have a culture of using wood in high-rise buildings, whereas in other countries, in Scandinavia and Japan, that is an established culture. And as a matter of fact, in our quest to do so, our executives are engaged with CSIR and other partners to look at whether we can build a showcase building, which will become part of our new head office in Pretoria, where our own head office will be in a wood-made building. And the CEO can speak a little bit in detail in terms of our plans in that regard. So the scenario project was a very important risk outside-in look that helped us to help the organization to achieve the 96 million cash reserves that the CEO spoke about, because we met as a board almost weekly during the hard lockdown, and later as management were showing comfort navigating that difficult phase, we then started meeting fortnightly and reverted to monthly and then reverted to our quarterly program. And these scenarios were a product of joint sessions between executives and the board. In terms of critical skill sets, those scenarios also helped us to anticipate what the forestry company of the future looks like, what the future looks like in terms of our role in carbon reductions and the like. And hopefully to the extent that at the national structure of the country, we may have wood being central to the economic trajectory of the country. Therein lies the opportunity for SAFCO to also become a key player. We, in the talent mapping, which we've now done, the chair of Human Resources Committee, I didn't see her earlier when I asked other chairs to make inputs. We have been hard at work in that committee in ensuring that we map out a key succession plan, that we also map out a plan against, once we become more profitable, how we're going to start recruiting that futuristic talent against the strategy of building a forestry company that will be fit for purpose in the future. If I then proceed to the questions that also require broad contextualization, to the questions that were raised by Honorable Shabalala. In terms of customer satisfaction, our Chief Strategy Officer, who's also on this call, Vishal Harishunt, also came to us from quite a colorful background. He has embedded new systems in place to get us to become more and more customer-facing. But one of the reasons why we chose to accelerate the appointment of a Chief Operating Officer was because we recognized that our CEO was stuck in the engine room fixing the organization, rightfully so, but actually was spending little time outside in on the customers. And we have since rolled out quite a robust customer interaction program, which I will request the CEO to speak to also when he responds to questions. In terms of the question that has been raised around research and development, R&D expenditure, as well as the broader role of SAFCOL in forestry management, there's part of it that I would prefer, perhaps in the absence of the Honorable Deputy Minister, DG, perhaps you could also speak about where DPE interfaces with DFF, because we can only operate within our defined competency in terms of forestry management. But as a board, in 2019, we literally held, forgive the pun, but we spent most of our board meetings in the bush, in that we went to Toyando quite early on and spent the day at Timber Dollar, and really went through a physical site visit of each facility, whether it's in Sabi, whether it's in the places near Masharodorp. We physically visited every SAFCOL facility and ensured that our board meetings were on site, because we needed to see what was the capabilities of SAFCOL on the ground. And we were quite pleasantly surprised when we visited the R&D environment, where there was quite a lot of insights that we were exposed to around how SAFCOL is investing in knowledge of ensuring that we cure our trees, in ensuring that we cultivate new species of trees, and various other methodologies that my board colleagues can also speak to, as well as the CEO. But we feel quite proud, actually, and we believe South Africa should be quite proud of the caliber of R&D facilities that SAFCOL has in terms of R&D. And this is a matter that is top of mind also in our investment committee discussions. The bulk of the questions around land claims, settlement claims, community shares and minorities, the various areas around the chair of audit will speak to the repeat audit findings, although, as has been rightfully pointed out by Honorable Komani, this relates to 2017 matters before our tenure. As I've said, most of these are pre our term of office, but we've since cleaned up as much as we possibly could. The matters raised by Honorable Mkwanazi around preferential procurement, fruitless wasteful expenditure, the questions raised by Honorable Piri around black women-owned and youth-owned businesses and our enterprise development, I'm sure the CEO will address, and matters of irregular expenditure. As I said, I sought to firstly give context to what we found, what we've been prioritizing, and where I felt it was important to ensure that that context is emphasized. I would like to start out by requesting Ms. Vatu, our Chair of Audit and Risk, to address those questions that she is able to address on behalf of that committee, which plays an important oversight on a key number of the issues that have been raised. Then thereafter, Dr. Mnaheng, we can see from your perspective as CEO in terms of which other questions you may wish to address. As I indicated earlier, the chair of the investment committee is available. Mr. Bolton can also engage with those aspects that require that perspective from him. We do then have executives that the CEO can invite based on where he sees the biggest need to invite them to add, should it be necessary. May I start off then, with your permission, Chair, with Ms. Zimkile Zatu, the chairperson of our Board Audit and Risk Committee.
Thanks, Chair. Can I go?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you for all the questions. A lot of them were around irregular expenditure and consequence management. And the fact that we have been able to turn around 5 years of qualifications this year into an unqualified opinion doesn't mean that all the problems that we had in the previous 5 years have been solved. it just affirms that our internal controls are sufficiently working and are picking up areas of concern, and we are rectifying them. There was another question, for example, around what kind of contracts led to regular expenditure. I think the most significant of the contracts was the custom card contract, which has come to an end, but it had to run its course, and that's why there was that recurring big irregular expenditure. So we are certainly moving in the right direction in terms of our control environment. The CEO has touched on some of the factors, being the fact that we are improving the culture. So when people see wrong, they are confident to report it, because at least they believe that something will be done about it, which is a positive move. We have started to institute and have been instituting disciplinary procedures on some of the staff that has been found to have done wrong. We've got a very detailed report on that going back 3 years, where we've dismissed in the past 3 years about 9 employees, and there have been written warnings and final written warnings, counseling and so forth. We'd be happy to share that. But we are, where we find that some of our staff have done wrong, we do institute disciplinary procedures, and that we've got evidence to that. I will ask Zazi, who's our CAE, to maybe expand on the audit recovery plan, because we have instituted a recovery plan to try and see how we deal with the repeat findings that have been picked up by the AGSA. But a lot of them are really SCM related, and we believe that by improving the discipline, showing that we do act when we see misconduct by anybody, we will hopefully be in a position to correct a lot of those. One other thing I wanted to touch on was around standing sales. There was a question on standing sales. Why did we stop standing sales? The challenge we had with standing sales was that it was good to record the revenue, but the problem was that it was taking us over a year to recover that money. And for us, liquidity was more important. And I think that decision bode us well, because in the periods where there was a cash crunch in the country, where we weren't producing, at least we had sufficient cash reserves to be able to sustain our operations. So I think our motto was that cash is king, and I think that was the right motto for us to have, because it did help us in times where there was a crunch. I will hand over to Nzazi and John to answer some of the more detailed questions. Nzazi?
If I may, Zim, do you want to reflect further on how audit and risk reviews IT risks to the question that was asked earlier about IT systems?
So we've got, and it was picked up by one of the members, we've got a very old JDE system that requires an upgrade. The cost of that upgrade is quite exorbitant. It runs north of 100 million, and we are looking at ways in which to finance that. We have started to have some discussions with the banks in terms of how that could be financed. But on a quarterly basis, we, as the Audit and Risk Committee, do get a report from IT around the emerging IT risks, the issues where there's difficulties, and a lot of them do come back to the need for us to upgrade the IT system, because we are vulnerable from a cybersecurity point of view. It compromises even some of the financial statements preparation. I think one of the members, I think Michelle Clark, picked up that at times some of the entities would have to use spreadsheets, and that was some of our reality. So we have at least on that started to, we're starting to use Caseware, which we think will help in terms of the quality of the preparation of the apps. But I need to highlight that we are vulnerable from an ICT perspective, but It is something that we manage as the Audit and Risk Committee on a quarterly basis, and we have sight of. But until we solve the funding of that upgrade, we will still be at risk.
Thank you very much. You had invited one of the colleagues to speak.
Yes, and that we can touch on the audit recovery plan and then join on the rest of the question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Afternoon to the chair and the committee. And afternoon to all our colleagues from DPE as well as SAFCOL. I'm going to briefly just touch on the salient features of what we've put together as an audit recovery plan. In the main, it is based on the shortcomings that the AG has identified in their reports for 1920. They've put through the root causes for the challenges as identified. So the plan has actually been compiled and split into short, medium, and a long-term elements of the plan. And its key focus is the control drivers, as they have been identified by the AG in the audit. So we have got three key control drivers relating to leadership, which is aligned to governance and compliance, related to financial reporting, which is split into the preparation of financial statements as well as procurement. And then there is performance reporting. Insofar as a control driver for leadership is concerned, I think the high-level measures that are in place for the audit recovery plan, obviously the capacitation of all top management, except for the CIO, and that's ongoing. There is a process previously identified to a point can also guide the internal unit, and then one of the issues that carried out by the internal audit unit is determination test, the regular expenditure that has been approved in the causes of expenditure controls hand down carry regular expenditure, and to something there's the issue of consequence management and then making sure that has happened. So as part of the condonation process, these processes are undertaken and they will actually be submitted to the National Treasury just to make sure that from a governance, compliance and leadership perspective, those issues are addressed. With financial reporting, some of the measures that we have put in place is that the internal audit unit, well, as part of their reviews for the next financial year, carry out a review of the interim financial statements. There will be technical updates for staff, for all staff that are involved in the preparation of financial statements. Management will have continuous engagements with the AG, that is before, during, and after all the audits have been carried out. And I think ACCHAIR already touched on the automation for the preparation of the annual financial statements. And that will also include a module for asset management as well. With procurement, there is a capacitation of the SCM function. There is continuous monitoring of the SCM function to ensure that there is effective and efficient procurement systems, as well as compliance with the relevant prescriptions so far as SEM is concerned. And then there is the planned automation of the SEM processes. And then with performance reporting as well, from a root cause perspective, what was identified was that there is a lack of automation in the process. And that is actually what is on the cards in terms of addressing the issues that were identified in that space. So in the long term, if one looks at all these control drivers that have been identified as key, in the main, there's the automation that is probably going to address most, if not all, of these issues, because some of them were in the main about errors that could have been corrected if the processes that are used to actually put together these reports were automated. And then obviously with an adequate ERP system going forward, I think some of these shortcomings, if not most, will be addressed by that approach. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Rapo. Mr. Maruma, are you coming in?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members of Parliament. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, board members. Good afternoon, members from the DPE. From a finance perspective, addressing some of the questions with the owners. This to the how we're going to sustain the performance, as it relates to the financial performance and the audit performance. The Ntansi has already covered that. Just to add from a finance, we are able to improve capacity the training, the skills that are the finance. In place for training skills that we define in place trainees which you being trained or and this is a skill we need to have. We are training every week on this for members with knowledge from the more years. The list members from the nation we have and from the foreign and communication that we are from a senior perspective, potential risk areas in those and this is strictly enforced to ensure that the present wasteful expenditure is kept to a minimum and eventually reduced to a new balance. So that this is what we are doing from a fruitless and wasteful expenditure to ensure that we overcome fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The other questions on contractors, you know, irregular expenditures have been covered by the chair. So I'm covered on that. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Can I invite you, Ntate Mnaheng, to add and also answer, especially the questions we haven't touched on land matters?
Thank you, Chair. I'll cover those that I've highlighted as not covered, Chair. Thank you. The first one is the land claim. And how are we going to manage this so that it doesn't become a risk going forward? What is our strategy? I think the question came up with a few of the honorable members Honorable Gumede raised it, and I'll start from there, Chair. That we believe that the land claim process, even though we are not responsible for the process, we are participants in the process, but it's an opportunity for SAFCON to partner with communities so that we can derive more value out of the assets that we have. So our strategy is we create relationships, partnerships with community even before the land has been transferred, so that by the time the claim has been declared as successful, then we can then have a relationship that says, how can you have an economic relationship? So we are talking to communities broadly, the one in Ntabeni, which is in Venda, is just that it's that one is being settled. The community is just waiting for the day when they are going to be handed over a ceremony. So we are working on what are the areas of partnership so that they can continue having benefit by the forest. Our departure with them is it's critical for us to continue having the forest. It shouldn't be that when the land is transferred, then the forests are harvested and they are destroyed. So at least we agree on that part that they want us to continue operating the forest, but there should be local beneficiation, whether it's in supply chain, whether it's in the processing opportunities, whether it's in agroforestry opportunities. So we are looking at supply chain opportunities. We are looking at processing opportunities where they should set up manufacturing of furniture, where they should set up other advanced processing facilities with our partnership or with our support. We are working currently with CSIR and Stellenbosch University. We have already concluded two researches with them, or they've concluded with us. CSIR, we have concluded a CNC, which is cellulose nanocrystals. That is, we extract products out of the wood instead of waiting for the tree to be harvested, and then we throw away 50% of it. So we are saying this project, when we implement it, we'll implement it jointly with the communities. With Stellenbosch, we are working what we call engineered wood. And that research is completed as well. That's the one that Chairperson was referring to, that we have to be able to have wood that will build modern housing, even office space, with wood like any other country in the world. So that is done. And we believe that these are opportunities where the communities can partner with SAFCOL in having these businesses, so that we carry the responsibility of the plantations, the state, and then the beneficiation we partner with the communities. So they like that. And Mamashola, the other side of Zanin, they've received their land, and we are working on a partnership agreement where they are going to continue to benefit, and not just on CSI, but economically. So there will be both owners of businesses that derive value from the timber. And then the other question that came from Honorable Clark was, which hasn't been covered, was how does SAFCOL keep critical skills? We are very fortunate that even though we don't very well, but we know what we have to do. We have to take this asset from where it is to the pride of the country. And the colleagues have committed to that. We're hoping that the reward will improve in the future, so that they don't compare the rewards and incentives with the outside world, so that we can maintain taking this asset. We have a very interesting strategic project we are working on, and the colleagues want to be part of this journey. I think and the culture that we are working on, to say we need a culture that people in South Africa will say, we are proud to, or we are happy to have a company called Safcon. And the other one is, which wasn't covered, maybe I can just add, Chair, is the KPIs not met. We ended up at 56%. We would have loved to be over 70%. It was a very tough year economically, and we had to change our plans during the middle of the financial year to say some of the costs would have to really postpone because we can't spend. And the other area which is which made us not achieve our targets is the revenue element, which cascades through a few elements. I think three elements are dependent on revenue. And it's because we made a decision to clean up our revenue and make it a sustainable revenue and not live on year. So that affected us. In terms of the preferential or transformational targets, we realized that we go to the market and look for enterprises that we can work with, and at times it's difficult. So we have decided not to be reactive, but rather proactive. So we have started a program where we train suppliers. We worked with UNIDO, which is a UN-based entity, where we work with trained enterprises so that they can be fully participants in the industry. We also partnered with Mpumalanga Invested for training of enterprises and entrepreneurs in this space. Because for most of us, it was it was new environment to operate at a higher level in the forest space. So that we are doing, and hopefully we'll start realizing the benefits. And we are going around and training people who we believe can participate, and they just don't understand the going about. So we are making it easy for them to participate in the supply chain and in the execution of projects. We don't want them to contract and then fail, and because then they will fail SAFCO. And then the other element which is of importance that I thought is the when will the shares be transferred to the communities? We've been working on this project because we've been, I think, for the past 2 years that the sooner we transfer the shares to the communities, the better for us as well. Even if we would probably will take them along so that the shares are not transferred and then they are lost. We are ready from Safcon side to transfer the shares. We have started a process. We're going to work with NEF so that they can house the shares as an interim facility, so that when the communities have been identified, because first the communities have to be identified so that when we transfer the shares, we know exactly where they are going so that there are no repercussions. So that we are waiting for that identification, but from our side we're running the process of evaluation of the shares so that we know the value of the shares of each of the four entities, so that it becomes a fair transaction, and then we are ready to transfer the shares anytime. The land settlement model, I think I touched on that. Honourable Komane has mentioned that would like to be shared, but our model is at high level, it's detailed, but at high level, it says the communities, even those that are not land claimants, must be part of the economic activities around the plantations. So they must be part of the supply chain process. They must be part of the beneficiation companies or manufacturing companies. So they must add value to the wood and much more. So we are looking at cooperatives with the communities. We are looking at strategic partnerships with communities. At the right time, then we can exit when they are fully running. And they all like that model. They say, let's implement the model now. So we are busy, like I said, we are starting with Venda next week, and then we'll be moving to Mamashola community, and then we'll be going over to the other side next to Amsterdam. The other relationship with communities, I think that was covered from Honorable Piri. Strategies I've covered. In terms of the business, Honorable Piri wanted to know the business to be placed with transformed companies. I think I've covered that partially, that we do appoint, we want to appoint transformed companies. That's our first line of procurement, but we don't want to set up companies to fail. So we provide support to the enterprises, even for them to raise funding so that we can have a successful industry. I think Honorable Chabalala, I think with the customer engagements, we believe that if we don't create the market, we are not going to have a business. If we don't create the customers, we are not going to have a business. So we realized a few years ago that Safcol is not customer centric. The culture was that we have the raw material, come and get it. It's not that how do we identify the market opportunities in the market. So we were comfortable in selling logs and thinking that is it. But the problem with selling logs doesn't give you growth. It just gives you the base load in terms of revenue. But if we really want to grow, we have to beneficiate our process. So we are now driving a customer-centric approach where we, on weekly basis, we interact with the customers to understand what are they happy with, what are they not happy with. And what they are happy with, we strengthen. What they are not happy with, we correct immediately. So I meet with colleagues on Friday mornings on a fortnight basis to identify where we have challenges and where we can improve. And we get feedback from the customers that Safcol has really changed in terms of how they treat customers and how they respond to customers. And then the other question coming from Honorable Chabalala was from Timbadola, a loan project. It's been a loan project, and for us it's a very urgent project. We are looking at raising funding to reinvest in the sawmill. But we are also looking at strategic partnership with a partner that would probably bring in financing or bringing in a technical solution or bringing in financing and technical solution with a plan to later transfer the sawmill after having to cover the funding back to fully to state. So we are looking at that, those models, and we are busy with the documentation. We did go out to the market to assess the market, and we got very good responses on the market where companies want to really participate in the partnership with us. And we think we are on the right track on that one. And then the question, maybe Chair, if I can address the question, why is Safcol not given other state-owned forests to manage? We are in the process together with DPE and Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries to look at, as the first start, to look at the plantations next to Bushbuck Ridge, where there's plantations that are not really managed properly from their side, because they have challenges. So we are looking at how can we take the management of those forests as a start and test it as a pilot project. And I think we are all on the same wavelength. We just have to make sure that if we take them over, it's not going to be a burden to Safcol, but it's that Safcol can make a difference in terms of the people, in terms of the business, in terms of the communities around there because we want to involve the communities when you take over these plantations. And then the other question that came from Honorable Chabalala was, I think I've covered it, when will the minority shares be transferred? I think I've covered that. Honorable Chair, the diversification strategy is key. I think Chairperson has already addressed it. Our strategy currently is that we are not going to see growth if we focus on the logs or on the sale of raw material. We have to beneficiate, and our initial conclusion is we can use 90% of the tree. Currently, we are using about just over 50%. So we have to beneficiate the tree. So which is the current processing that we do of furniture, of construction timber. But we have the advanced processing, which we are going to start in the next financial year, which is more to get other products. We have already advertised for strategic partnerships on the use of residue to generate energy, which will be placed in Limpopo. And we are also looking at getting other products together with CSIR to industrialize the extraction of the nanocellulose or nanocrystal out of the trees so that we can produce multiple products. That's where private sector comes in to partner with us in the different products that we are going to produce. And we believe that that is where the growth of the company is going to come from. So the diversification strategy is being implemented already, and we are running with that. And the wood products, furniture, we developed furniture manufacturing companies owned by young people. They're already operational. But I think I was talking to my colleagues that we need more. We need to have a factory, say in Zanin, or we need a factory in Sabi that produces school desks for the country and probably for export. And we had a discussion a week ago with the Department of Economic Development in Mpumalanga that we are going to have a techno park in Sabi where we are going to produce wood-based products, and we are going to involve women-based businesses and youth-owned businesses to produce products out of wood. And because the market is huge out there, it's just that we need that vehicle. So that technopark is going to be implemented. I got commitment that we are going to action it because we have an MOU in place, but it wasn't actioned. Chair, I think I've covered most of those that I thought were not covered. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavani. Honorable Chairperson, we believe we've covered most of the questions as best as we could. May I propose that on the matter of the breakdown of our employees, as requested by Honorable Chabalala, that perhaps we could send that information in writing, because it is there on our employment equity reporting. It's just a matter of sending it through to the committee if that would suit the committee. There's a matter that was raised around broader government forestry management. Perhaps our colleagues from DPE may wish to weigh in on that, DG. We're also mindful, Chair, that we've run over our allocated time, so we'll be guided by yourself in terms of whether there's anything further that is still required that we may not have covered. But we did our best to cover all the questions raised by honorable members. With your permission, I'm not sure from DPE whether there's any comments in the absence of the Deputy Minister, as I hand back to yourself, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair of the Board. Can we, honourable members, if there is a serious follow-up, was to me now we are already pressed with time. If just only one or two questions or follow-ups, actually, is there any, I think we take the fact that the chairperson is committing to forward the response to Honorable Tshabalala in writing to us as a committee. I think that is acceptable. Can we get an indication as to whether there is somebody who wants to quickly make a follow-up with the 5 minutes that is left?
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Clark.
Can we request the department to please send us a report on their disciplinary matters? Because we were informed today that, you know, if anybody commits fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it's actually deducted from their salaries. And that's the action that has been taken. If we could have that report. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. That's us. All honourable members. So let me take this opportunity, honourable members, to thank the Deputy Minister who has already left to quickly deal with a particular problem that was reported to the committee. And thank you, the entire staff of the minister in the department, including members from the board and the executive of SAFCOL. We thank you so much for your presentation, which I believe was extremely comprehensive, and you were patient enough to cover in detail most of our questions. Therefore, we thank you so much. We'd like to release you, Chairperson, and your team, so that we finish up our business of the day on issues that are not necessarily needing your attention. Can we release you?
Yes, sir. Honourable Chair and honourable members, we just wish to say thank you very much for the opportunity we've had. My parting shot would be in response to Honourable Gumede around our plans to sustain the performance. One of our languages from Limpopo teaches us that Mintiriyawula would. And we would hope that, as they say, deeds speak. Having been part of this organization as a board since October 2018, we would hope the work that has been done so far should give the committee confidence that we are committed and devoted to ensuring that we do not lose the momentum. And hopefully next year, this time, we will continue to have a palatable story to tell. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, we have released the department. They can log out so that we quickly finalise our issues. Yeah, I can see them, of course. I can see them going out. Mr. Muchumi, are you ready?
Yes, Chairperson.
With the minute. Yes, please. Can you help us with... Yeah, we are on the minutes of the previous meeting.
I'm going to share the minutes. It's basically the minutes of the 24th of February 2021, which was the briefing by Danel.
Okay.
On the annual report and financial statements. Let me go directly to the content. Number one, basically, is the introduction. The Danel board was led by the Deputy Minister and the Chairperson and CEO. The presentation of Danel, we've made a synopsis of what has been presented in terms of the report. The observations are detailed in 3.1 to 3.8. And the responses of the leadership of Danel, we have summarized the issues and then the adjournment.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mutumi. Honorable members, that is the minutes of the of last month, the 24th Wednesday. Can we get an indication of adopting? Is there any propose for adoption?
Chair, I propose that they be accepted.
Honorable Gumede proposed for the minutes of the 24th to be adopted. Is there any second?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
I second, Chair.
Yes, you will choose between Honorable Kwanas and Honorable Dlamini. I choose Honorable Dlamini.
Thanks, Chair.
Yeah. Okay.
Chairperson, we've got the second set. It's only two sets.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. Yeah. Go through.
The second set is basically the meeting that dealt with the issues of Alex Go. Introduction. The coming session was done by the interim committee was led by Mr. Willem Ploete. We have something to in it, and then the input from the Department of Public Entertainment in terms of the money that has not been dispensed and the reasons there. To the committee. Input part of agriculture, land reform and rural development was K. Moaketsi, who is the regional leader in the who presented a plan in terms of issues of the interpretation and the observation committee members presented and the response that the resolution issue in committee will be going in May. Thanks,
you done?
Answer.
Okay, let's check if honorable members would like to propose a option. We are adopting the end of honorable is adopted.